Well, the Glamorgan Gimelwoman Bay is about a little more than halfway down the Omwood. By the True Dark, the line begins with Nicomy Gollus. We've been discussing the beginning of the Sugya a couple of days ago. We've been discussing that the apparent theater between our Mishnah that talks about a knas for Baal HaChosa, Baal HaChosa Aviv, etc., versus the Mishnah in Makkos that says that those are the cases where a person gets Malkus. On the face of it, Enya Loiko Mashalim. And so far we had two answers. We had Ula, we had Ula, who said that you're right, you always Mashalim Ve'enya Loika. So what would the Mishnah in Makkos have to be talking about? Would have to be talking about you with a Begeres or a Shoto or what have you, where there's nothing to be paid and therefore there's Malkus. Then we had Rabbi Yochanan saying the other way around that no, normally that as a matter of fact, if there's a choice between Malkus and Tashlumin, you would get Malkus, you wouldn't pay the Tashlumin. So our mission has to be talking about there was no Hasra. Those were two answers we had so far. Now we're gonna have a third answer. Rish Lakish Amar, Hamani Rav Meir. Rish Lakish says very simple. You're assuming up until now that both Mishnayos are according to everybody. No. Our Mishnah goes according to Rav Meir, from a local Mishalim. Rav Meir, in fact, holds that a person can get Malkus and have to pay. So therefore, no stira. The Mishnah in Makkos is talking about Malkus, because that's the subject over there. Our Mishnah is talking about Knas, because that's the subject over here. But yes, Baal HaChosa would, in fact, get both. He'd get Malkus for the Avera, and he'd have to pay the Knas for that.
He's the most logical answer at this point.
Well, the first question is, Rav Meir, Afilu Bitu Nami. First of all, the question is, And we're going to revisit this question later on, actually tomorrow. But according to the mayor, wouldn't the same thing apply if it was his daughter? Now, we have a Mishnah later on in the Perek, I think it's the next Mishnah, I'm involved in Bez, that says that Abal Bita, if instead of his sister it was his daughter, where there's a Chiyuv Mitzvah based in, then he is Pater, because Kam Leib Duragamine. According to Rav Meir, if we're assuming, the Gemara is assuming at this point, when Rav Meir says Loiko Mashalim, the Gemara is assuming at this point that he doesn't just mean Loike, he means even Meso Mashalim. That he doesn't hold of Kam Libid Rav Mine.
But there's a Mishnah of Rav Meir.
But in that case, the next Mishnah, which we're assuming that generally speaking, the Gemara tends to assume that the Stam Mishnayos and the Perek all come from the same Tanakh. At least when they're on the same subject. So here, when we have our Mishnah, and then we have the next Mishnah, which describes, instead of Baal HaChosa, it has Baal Bitoi, we should assume they come from the same Tanakh. So if you're going to say that Rav Meir holds Loiko Mashalim, then he would also hold Meso Mashalim. In that case, then by Bitoi also. He'd be Chayav the Knas, and he'd get Misa. Why is Rav Meir saying no? So you might answer Rav Meir Loiko Mashalim Islay Meso Mashalim Lesley. You might answer no. Rav Meir does make a distinction. He does hold of Kam Leib Duragamine. He just holds it only applies to Misa and not to Malkus. So he might say yes in the case of the daughter Mess. He gets Misa based in. Therefore, there's no Tashlumin.
Mashenken
Malkus, which we'd be talking about a Chosa. Yeah. The problem with that is Veloy. You're telling me what? Let me give him a moment. Yeah. Veloy. You're telling me that not. You're telling me Rav Meir would make such a distinction. V'hatanya. But we learn a Braisa. This Braisa and most of the next bit of the Sugya are going to be talking about the dinim involved with Tzvicha or Mechira. So a little background for that. The Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, Ki yignif ish shoreiseh, a person steals an ox or a sheep, or Tzvachoi or Mecharoi, and he shechts it, or he sells it to somebody else. The pasuk says if it was an ox, he pays five times as much, and if it was a sheep, he pays four times as much.
He steals and he shechts,
so he steals and sells it to somebody else. So if it was just he stole it, then it would be chayav kefil. Then he pays kefil. That already, the kefil itself is a knas. As a general rule, whenever, and we're going to be talking about the idea of knas later, in general, any time the Torah either gives a fixed amount you have to pay, like here in the case of the onus and mafata where you pay 50 shkalim, plus the nezek, etc. The nezek is not a knas. The nezek is the nezek is the actual value of the damages. Similarly with some of the other ones. But knas is either when the Torah gives a fixed amount, like here the 50 shkalim, or when the Torah gives you a multiple or a fraction of the amount of the damage. Which is also, well, not necessarily, no, it's fixed percentage-wise, in other words, but not in actual value. Meaning, like in this case, when the Torah says that you have to pay double for a theft, or four or five if you sheft or sell, the extra three or the extra one time, or three or four times that you're paying are a knas. Similarly, for example, in Bava Kamma, it talks about it at great length, the idea that when you have a shirtam, when you have an ox that doesn't yet have a propensity for goring people, for goring people or animals or whatever, the first couple of times you only pay half the damages. That half is also a knas, because if it was mamon, you would be paying the full value. I think Gemara has actually a long discussion about that in Bava Kamma, whether chassi nezek knas or mamonu. So maybe let's not get into that too much. But anyway, the halacha is that it's considered a knas. So that's the idea. That's the idea. A person shechts or resells the animal that he stole. He pays extra for it. He pays besides the regular double, which he would pay for anything else he stole. He pays an extra two or three times. So the Braita says, "Gonav v'tovach b'Shabbos." What if a person stole and shechted on Shabbos? Where then he's chayev misa for the shechita on Shabbos? So do we say, "Come libedin avimine"? Gonav v'tovach l'avodis kachavim. Or another possibility, he stole the animal and then he shechted it as a korban to an avodah zarah. Where also he's chayev misa? Or gonav shor on niskol v'tovach. Another possible case where he stole a shor on niskol, and one of these oxen that we just talked about, the tam and the muad. If somebody's ox or other animal gores and kills a person, then the ox is put to death. I'll show you a circle. If it's the first couple of times, there's nothing else. If it's the third time or onward, the owner also has to pay a kofar. We're not getting into that right now. Anyway, that shara niskal is asabana. So if a person steals that shara niskal and checks it, now there we're not talking about there's no chiyuv misa for that, but the point is on the face of it, you're not taking anything away from the guy because it was already osur b'hana to him. So we'll get back to that later. In all those cases, the price is in the shalom tashlum abba b'chamisha. You still have to pay the four or five fold payment. Divir abeir b'chacham and poitur, and the chum say you're poitur. Now what's the point? The point is that we see in the case of Shabbos or avodah zarah, that in the case of the Shor HaNiskel is something else that we're going to get into later. The point is we're trying to show over here that Rameir holds a Kamalei B'Dirabimine equally well when it comes to Malkus or when it comes to Misa,
as opposed to what we were trying to say
that maybe he makes that distinction. But we see in all these cases, he says that you're paying the four or five fold. That means he doesn't hold a kum lebedin avimine, even by misa. So we're back to the question: why would Rameir say by bitoy that you're potter from the knas? If you're going to say that all Mishnah is talking about is according to Rameir, then that Mishnah also has to be according to him. But that Mishnah says that you don't pay a knas lebitoy because you're getting misa. But by the tavach hamacha, you are paying the knas. The answer is ha'itmar aloch. But you know that they said about that, Amar Rab Yaakov, Amar Rab Yechanan, Va'amila, Amar Rab Yumi, Amar Rab Shimon Lakish, that Rab Oven, Rab Ila, V'chol Chavurasa, Mishmei, Rab Yechanan, Amri, according to this other version, it's that the Rab Oven, Rab Ila, and the rest of the group, not Rab Yaakov, are saying in the name of Rab Yechanan, that we're talking about Teveach Al Yidei Acher. What we're talking about is the Reuven stole the ox. Instead of shechting it himself on Shabbos, he tells Shimon to shecht it for him. So what happened? Shimon is the one who has the chiyuv misa for Shabbos. Reuven is the one who's responsible for the four or five fold for the fact that the animal was shechted. Therefore, it's not a question of kum lebi didab. I mean, yeah, one person has the chiyuv misa and the other person has the chiyuv of payment. The question is, where do you have a case where one person, we know ein shliach l'dvar aveira, that you can't have one person does an aveira and the other person becomes liable for it. If we're saying that Shimon, who did the shchita on Shabbos, is going to be chayev misa for it, fine, because he's the one who actually did the shchita, why are we holding Reuven responsible for the shchita and making him pay the four or five, for the tashlum abba v'chamisha? The answer is, Amar Rava, Amar Rachmana, because what does the pasuk say? Yeah, we're talking two different people. So why, yeah, the Reuven, the original Ganav, why should he be Chayev? He's already Chayev double, fine. But why is he Chayev the extra two or three times? Because Shimon shefted it. The answer is,
he asked him to shecht it.
But still, ain't shlech v'dvar aveira. The usual rule is we say that Shimon, when we bring the case to Beis Din, Reuven should be able to argue, wait a minute, what are you holding me responsible for what Shimon does? Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishaymin. I told him to shecht the animal. The Evishta tells him not to shecht. Who's Shimon supposed to listen to? Is it my fault that he's a yokel and he listened to me instead of the Evishta?
So what did he tell him in the first place?
Okay, but even if he told him, that's the... So in this case, Rava says an exception. Amar Rava, Amar Rachmana Utvacha Emechore, because the pasuk says he shechted the animal or he sold it, which we have to consider what that means. Mamechira ayude acher. Now, selling necessarily involves another person. You don't sell to yourself. Obviously, selling has to be that there's a third party involved. Aftavicha ayude acher. Therefore, we can learn from that that shechting can also be, you can be chayev even if it involves a third party. So yes, in this case, if Reuben the Ganav tells Shimon, his accomplice, to shecht the animal, then yes, Reuben is going to be chayev to pay because of the shechita. That will be an exception to the usual rule that ain't shlech and vara meira.
Two words in the same pasuk. One
yeah, that's one when we're asking them. Tzvacha v'machara, yes. What? So the shlech is going to be mechayev nisik, because it was on Shabbos.
It's micha?
Yeah, it's right next to each other. Yeah, it's right, yeah, it's a hekesha. Yeah. The Shita Mekubetzis discusses a little bit what we mean ma'amachira yidei acher. He brings from some of the Farshim who say the idea is it doesn't just mean the fact that when you sell to somebody else, because then you could argue ain't done an epsha mishi epsher. Mechira necessarily requires somebody else. Tzvicha could involve somebody else. It could not. It doesn't have to be that you tell somebody else to shechet. He brings from some of the Farshim who want to say that ma'amachira yidei acher. I mean, usually when you sell something, you sell it through a sarsu. You sell it through a broker. You don't usually go, a person doesn't necessarily usually go and sell animals or whatever himself. He finds a broker to go in and arrange the sale for him. And he himself, he says, I don't necessarily agree with that shot because then not necessarily is Mechira Yidachah. Then the whole point is, the Gemara seems to be trying to say that Mechira necessarily involves somebody else. Anyway, so there we have a source for this idea that, yes, you can make that distinction. The shliach is going to be chayev for the fact that it was on Shabbos, but the actual tzvicha or mechira, the original ganav, is going to be chayev for. So, yes, it's not a contradiction to the idea of kom lebe d'rav.
In this case.
Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, we have two other ways of understanding, of learning this limud. We're talking that the ganav is chayev for the extra payments if he had somebody else do the shchita for him. So we had Rava's version. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Oi, the rabbi is a shliach. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught, since the pasuk says, utvachai oi mecharai, the oi comes to include that if it was done through a shliach. Because otherwise the pasuk could have said, utvachai u mecharai. There's a machlokas in several places. In Shas, we've had it before, I think we had it at the beginning of Yevamos, whether when Torah says this and that, does it mean this or that, or does it mean this and that, unless the Torah specifies. So the Rabbi Shmuel holds that if it says then it can mean or, and therefore, if the Torah is saying oi, then you have an extra word over there that's available for a drasha. And in the yeshiva of Chizki, it's also a third possibility, tachas l'rabbis l'shtiach. The pasuk says, chamisha baki yishalem tachas asher, v'avatzain tachas aseh. The extra tachas comes to include, otherwise the Torah said, chamisha baki yishalem b'sher, v'avatzain b'seh. So the extra tachas comes to include if you have a shliach, do it tachas instead of you.
That's the meaning.
Yes. Either way, the point is, according to any of these three limudim, we have the idea then that you can have somebody else is doing the tvicha, but you're chayav for it. But when it comes to the Isser Shabbos, though, that's a transferable. Right. So the shliach is the one who's chayav for the Isser Shabbos. But as far as the payment, the one who sent him, because we have any of these three limudim, we see that the one who sent him is the one who's chayav for the payment. So fine. So then, in that case, that braisa doesn't contradict the idea that we're trying to say over here, because Rav Meir would agree with kam lebe d'rav aminei, and he might well make a distinction between malchus and misa. He might say, I hold of kam lebe d'rav aminei as far as misa. I don't hold of it as far as malchus. Therefore, there's no stira between our Mishnah and the one in malchus. The guy gets malchus and he pays. On the other hand, when it comes to misa, then not. Therefore, the Mishnah would be the next Mishnah about the daughter. I, in this case, but this case, we're talking about two different people who are doing the Gneva and the Tvicha. Okay, the question is, So what are you talking about over here? What are you saying? If the Ganav himself, Reuben, were to have taken this animal and shechted it on Shabbos, you'd say he's potter. But you're saying that if the Shliach does it, he's chayav to pay? What's the logic? How is it possible that there's something that you yourself do and you're potter, but your shliach does it and you're chayev? The answer is it's not really that he's not chayev. You love mishum b'loim chayev, el mishum d'kamer b'dirab aminei. It's not that he's not chayev for the payment. Really, by rights, yes, if he shechted it himself on Shabbos, he is chayev for the fivefold payment. Elamai, kamer b'dirab aminei, overrides that. No, it's not a proof. It's a side thing. It's a side point. We're not saying that he's chayev more because his shliach did it than because he did it. Really, in principle, he would be chayev if if he did it himself. Except kum lebedavimineh prevents us from being able to apply that. When it comes to a shliach, kum lebedavimineh is not relevant because the shliach gets the misa and he's getting the penalty. So that's the only reason. It's not that we're being more machmir on him if he did it through a shliach. It's fakir. We're not putting on him the chiyuv misa. Therefore, the chiyuv mammon has a chance to be chal. Okay, well then the question is, my time as a rabbanon de patri. Well then, why are the rabbanon holding if he had somebody else shecht it? Okay, we can understand why Rav Meir is saying he's chayav. We just said because he's having to pay the four or five. The other guy who shechted it on Shabbos is getting the misa. So why are the rabbanon saying that he's potter from the four or five? There's obviously no kamalei b'drabaminei there. The answer is because that's a side thing. Man chachamim Reb Shimon. Because you know who the chachamim are in this braisa is actually Reb Shimon. The amah shchita sheiner ruya lo yishma shchita. Reb Shimon says in a couple of different contexts that a shchita that's not suitable, meaning that does not make the animal mutter to eat, is not even considered a shchita. One place this comes up is in connection with the din of Osev Espinoy. We know the Torah says that you're not allowed to shecht a mother animal and a baby animal on the same day. What happens if you shechted one of them in a way that makes it also to eat? For example, some of our examples over here, you shechted it as korban tavod zarah, for example. Are you allowed to shecht the baby? Reb Shimon says yes. Since the first one was shechita she'ena ru'uya, it was a shechita that does not make the animal mutter to eat, therefore it's b'chlal not considered a shechita.
In our cases, such
and so over here also, if you're shechting it, what does the pasuk say? Utvachay emachari. If you shecht the animal or sell it, that's when you become chayiv in the four or five. So Reb Shimon would argue if you shecht that only, that means only if you shechted it in a way as a kosher shchita. Here it was a possible shchita because you did it l'shem avodah zarah or with a shorah nisko, which is anyway also b'hanah. That's one case.
Because he has to eat it. Whoa, relax.
We're talking shchita sheina ru'uya means that it's not suitable, meaning it didn't make the animal, it didn't give the animal the status of a shchuta in halacha. Yes, a shchuta could still be that it's shreifa and then you have to throw it to the dogs and all, but still, it's considered a behemoth shchuta. For one thing now, it's not matamah tumas nevelos, etc. But if you shechted the shema v'dezara, or you shechted shara nitzkel, the shchuta has no effect. Because the shara nitzkel is also b'hanah, and the kriyas v'dezara is also b'hanah, so the shchuta didn't accomplish anything useful. And Reb Shimon holds that that's not considered a shchita. Another case where Reb Shimon talks about it is in connection with kisui adam. If you shecht a chayah or an oif, you have to cover the blood. What again? Same idea. What happens if a person shechts shchita sheina ruya? Again, Reb Shimon would argue you don't have the mitzvah of kisui adam then.
How come chayim don't hold this?
Because they hold very nice. It's a shchita sheina ruya. But the fact is, you cut the simanim or most of them or whatever. You did the actual act of shchita. That's good enough.
Yeah.
As long as the actual act of shchita itself was done right, yeah. So therefore, okay, so the Gemara says, Hatena Chavadis Chachav Mashar Nisko. Okay, very well. That explains the case of Avodah Zarah, because a Tikrevis Avodah Zarah, anything that was offered to an Avodah Zarah is also Bana, and the Sharan Nisko was also Bana. So therefore, in that case, we can say it's Shchita Shein Ruya, and the Shchita Shabbos. But what about the case of shechting on Shabbos? Shchita Ruya hi. On the face of it, that is a Shchita Ruya. The time, because we learn in a Mishnah in Chulin, Hashoichet B'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim, if somebody shechts an animal on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, Afal Pishim is Chayiv B'Napshah, even though he becomes Chayiv in his life, in the case of Shabbos, he's Chayiv Nisus based in the case of Yom Kippur, he's Chayiv Karis, Shchita Zekshera. Nevertheless, the Shchita is Kosher. So then that is a shchitish haru'uya. Why would Reb Shimon hold that tatters him from Tashlumei Avala Chamisha? The answer is, Sablach Reb Yechanan Asandler, because Reb Shimon would hold, in this case, like Reb Yechanan Asandler, D'Tanya, Hamavashel B'Shabbos, if somebody cooks on Shabbos, here we're talking about cooking, but the same thing would apply to doing other malachas of food preparation on Shabbos, such as our case, shchitah. So if somebody cooks on Shabbos, b'shoigig yoichal, if it was b'shoigig, he's allowed to eat it. B'mezid lo yoichal. B'mezid lo yoichal. If it was b'mezid, he's not allowed to eat it. Divrei Reb Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, b'shoigig yoichal l'metzai Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says that b'shoigig, Rashi over here explains like this. B'shoigig yoichal means that if the guy did it b'shoigig, he's allowed to eat it right there on the spot. We don't even make him wait till the end of Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Huda is being more machmir and saying that no, that b'mezid lo yoichol would mean that he's never allowed to eat it. Other people can eat it, but he can't. Rabbi Yehuda is saying differently. Rabbi Yehuda is saying b'shogeg ya'achol matzoy Shabbos. He can eat it on Matzah Shabbos. We don't want to allow him to eat it on Shabbos because what happens? He's going to pretend I made a mistake and then cooked it on and cooked it on Shabbos and then you're going to allow him to eat it and he's going to benefit from it. So make him wait till Matzah Shabbos. B'mezid lo ya'achol alamitz. Whereas if he did it b'mezid, don't ever allow him to eat from it. That'll be a further knas. And Rabbi Yochanan san loimer b'shogeg ya'achol matzoy Shabbos la'achirim v'loy loy. No, if it was b'shogeg, first of all, you have to wait till Matzah Shabbos, like Rabbi Yehuda said. But on top of that, even he can't eat it Matzah Shabbos. Only other people can eat it. B'mezid lo yochel olamis lo loy v'lo la'achirim. If it was b'mezid, then nobody can ever eat it. Neither he nor anybody else. So Rashi over here explains like that. So Rashi in Chulin, where this Gemara is also brought, because the Mishnah we just brought is from Chulin, and Tosfos over here explain a little bit differently. That in particular they explain that Rav Meir when Rav Meir says b'mezid lo yachol, he means you have to wait till Matzah Shabbos. Which is the same thing that Rabbi Yehuda is saying would be the din b'shogeg. So Tosfos over here says a nice way of remembering it. What Rabbi Meir says would be the din b'mezid is what Rabbi Yehuda says would be the din b'shogeg, and what Rabbi Yehuda says would be the din b'mezid is what Rabbi Yechon Sandler holds would be the din b'shogeg. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that if it was b'shogeg, then you can eat it Matzah Shabbos. You don't have to wait b'chdei she'yaseh. Also, you don't have to wait until the normal time that it would take to prepare it after Shabbos. But other people can eat it, but he can't. There's also an idea though that which is not like Rabbi Yehuda basically, not like Rabbi Yehuda and Sandler. But there's an idea actually that because you were talking about an Issur D'oraisa, whereas if you were to have a guy do a malacha for you on Shabbos, then it would be more serious. Then the din is, or not even if he does it for you, but even if he just does it on his own in certain cases, then you have to wait for the b'chdeisha yaseh. You have to wait long enough after Shabbos for the thing to have been accomplished. And the reason is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, because we don't suspect under normal circumstances that one yid is going to tell another to do an actual malacha on Shabbos and he's going to go do it. That's not a normal situation. Therefore, you don't have to cancel them. They have to wait for Stacey also. Machenkin, having a guy do it is something that people think is more of a kula. So, you know, it's a guy, you know, La Mila Akum is only Dirabonan. So therefore, we have to be more machmir on it and then make them wait after Shabbos for Stacey also. Anyway, the point is over here, that the point is, returning to our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is saying that if you shechted, or that if you cooked or shechted or what have you, but made it on Shabbos, then nobody can ever eat it. So there you go then. Rav Shimon would hold like that, and therefore he would say that not like the Mishnah in Chulin that says that Shechitas Ekshera, rather Rav Shimon would hold with Rabbi Yechon and Sandler that effectively it's possible because nobody can ever eat.
And therefore
all the cases that we had in our Braisa can go according to Rav Shimon, that it's Shechita Shein or Oyer, the Shechita that didn't allow the animal to become mutter to eat. One case is you shechted on a Shabbos, and according to Rabbi Yechon Asamlo, therefore, because you did it b'mezid, it's also forever to everybody. You shechted l'shem avodah zara, which therefore is tekrevis avodah zara, which is also b'hana, or with a shara nisko, which is also b'hana.
So therefore,
it's all shechita shein eruya. The question is, my time with Rabbi Yechon Asamlo, okay, where taka does Rabbi Yechon Asamlo get his idea from? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we can understand. Rabbi Meir is saying that if it was b'shogeg, we're not going to cancel him at all, because he did it b'shogeg, he couldn't help it. B'mezid, we'll just make him wait till Matzah Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, considering shogeg got to b'mezid, you don't want to allow him to do it b'shogeg because then that's too easily confused with b'mezid, or he might even do it b'mezid and claim that it was b'shogeg. So therefore, he's going to be more strict. But okay, not to the extent of offering it to other people forever. So why is Rabbi Yehuda and Asandla going so far? The answer is, k'didorish Rabbi Chiyah pischa de b'nesia, because it's like what Rabbi Chiyah darshin in front of the door of the Nasi. The pasuk says, "If shmartim as a Shabbos kikodesh ilachem." Last week's parsha. You should guard the Shabbos because it's holy to you. Which, what's the point of calling Shabbos kodesh? Ma kodesh also b'achila, just like something that is kodesh, hektish, is also to eat. Ach ma'is Shabbos asun b'achila. So also things that were done on Shabbos b'mezid are also to eat. Question is, ima kodesh also b'hanah, if ma'is Shabbos also b'hanah. Well, if you're going to go that way, then hektish is also b'hanah. Are you going to say that ma'is Shabbos is also b'hanah? Even Rabbi Yechon Asamlo just says nobody's ever allowed to eat it. Doesn't mean you can't feed it to an animal or what have you. The answer is no. Tamad lo'im lochem. No, because the pasuk continues, kodesh lochem. Shalochem Yehei. It belongs to you. So you have some kind of thing that you can have some kind of benefit from it, just not eat it. Yachol afilu b'shoigig. Then, okay, so we would think that this is talking about even if you did the malacha b'shoigig. Tamid loyma mechal alei almayis yumas. Because the pasuk continues, anybody who breaks Shabbos will be put to death, which is obviously talking about memezid. Therefore, we're made in a ma'atil chavaloi b'shoigig. Therefore, we see that this only applies, this whole din of kodesh yilachem only applies for his b'mezid, not b'shoigig. Okay, now, within that, pligi bar of acha v'ravina. So Rav Acha and Ravina argue on this drasha. Chad om ha'maisa Shabbos d'oraisa. Come join us. One of them says that Ma'is Shabbos is also d'oraisa from this limud that we just said. But Chad om ha'drabanan. The other one says that it's a nice drasha, but it's an asmachta. The actual thing that Ma'is Shabbos is also is really only d'rabanan. Shabbos is midaraisa, but he holds that. One second. Manda omer daraisa kidam moran. The one who says daraisa is because we just had the drasha. Machalala of kodesh ilachem. Machat manda omer dirabanan because omakro kodesh he. No, the pasuk says he, which the word he is a mute. He kodesh vein maaser kodesh. No, only Shabbos itself is kodesh. The maisim, the things that were done, that were made on Shabbos, even b'mezid, would not be kodesh. However, the Torah is implying that they're not kodesh, therefore they're mutter. The Chachamim came and asked them. The word he goes on Shabbos. The Shabbos itself is kodesh, but not maaser Shabbos.
The Chachamim made it siel
ha'tera. But now, then, the question is, Ulamando Omer Drabbanan, my time I Drabbanan de Patri. Well, according to, if we have Rav Acha and Ravina, one of them said that really something that you, according to him, he's saying that really, even according to Rav Yechon Sandler, something that you cook or chefs or whatever on Shabbos or Mezid would be Mutter Daraisi, it would be a Shchita or Uya, only with Drabbanan are we asking it. Well, then we're back to the question. Why would the Chachamim in the previous Braisa have said that if you shecht on Shabbos, you're not chayiv in tashlum avav chamisha? It is a shchita ru'uya. Min ha-Torah, it's a perfectly proper shchita. You can eat it. It's only the drabbanan that you can't. Fine, but the drabbanan can't take away the tashlum edalavei. The answer is kikuk patu drabbanan ashora. You're right. According to that explanation, according to that opinion, you would have to say that when the Chachamim argue on Rav Meir and say that you're potter, they aren't arguing on all three cases, only two of them. We brought three cases, Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, and Shoran Iskol. According to this explanation, we would say, you're right. They would say, we agree in the case of Shabbos, it'd be chayev, because min ha-Torah is shchita ru'uya. Only the other two are not shchita ru'uya. Okay, now that we've settled that, now we've got to get back to the question, Treveyach Avodah Zarah, when we're saying one of the cases was that he shechted it for the sake of Avodah Zarah, the question is, how is he chayiv in tashlumei avav chamisha? Given the shachar beipurta itzalei, as soon as he shechts even a little bit of the animal, it immediately becomes also. The shchita is a process; you have to cut through most of the two pipes, the windpipe and the esophagus. So when you start shechting already, the animal becomes also as the krivus of a dezara. Idach ki katavach lab demari katavach. And when you're shechting through the rest of the simanim, at that point, it doesn't belong to the owner anymore. At the moment you started the shchita, it's already also b'hana. So what kind of tashlum edalav behei? Amar Rava ba'oyma b'gmar zvicha hu ovda. So Rava says, you're right, you'd have to be talking about the case where he's saying I'm not intending it to be an act of worship of a Avodah Zarah until I finish the shchita. So at the time when he begins the shchita, it's mutter b'hana. No Avodah Zarah has been, no act of Avodah Zarah has been accomplished yet. He figures that when I finish the shchita, I want it to become off. Okay, you know. Until then, it would be a kosher shchita, yeah. Which actually is important for a different reason also, and this goes back also to what we said about Shechit B'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim. There's a question that some of the Achronim talk about. On the face of it, we know that a mumer's shchita is possible. It's in the first Sugya of Cholin talks about this. A person shechts on Shabbos or Yom Kippur b'mezid, or in our case, if he was shechting Lava Dezar b'mezid, he's a mumer. His shchita is anyway possible. What are we talking about, shchita ru'uya or ainah ru'uya? But if we say that the shchita is only accomplished at the end, then there's your answer. The actual act of shchita itself was done. He wasn't yet a mumer. He only becomes a mumer at the end of the act of shchita. Well, then, by that time, that's not enough to retroactively pass the Shchita.
No, but what he's saying, you can say that. And you say that by Shabbos, when that Shabbos is done.
I mean, are you necessarily being moitzi dam when you start the shchita? I mean, I don't know how fast it takes for the blood to start coming out, but I don't know.
So he's a mumar.
But only at the end of the shchita. But only at the end of the shchita. So then.
That's what it says in Chulin.
So in Chulin it discusses over there the whole concept that a mumer's shchita is possible. The Gemara discusses over there a little bit of agata over there. Then in that case, when the pasuk says when Eliyahu was hiding out over there during the famine, that the ravens were bringing him meat, was it coming from Achav's kitchens? But how could that be? There was David Azor over there. Wouldn't the meat be possible? Or was it coming from Yashapet's kitchens, which is fine? Yashapet was a Torah of mitzvahs. But it all comes up over there. This whole concept of a mumer's shchita being possible.
I can't understand it. If he says the end of the shchita, we don't know what's going on. Even after Charlie White, when he begins to chef, how can you say that I'm going to chef the kosher?
Okay, so I'm shechting the animal, and as he finishes the shchita, as he's getting to the point where the shchita is becoming kosher shchita, he's thinking to himself, you know what? I have an idea. Why don't I make this the korban chava d'zarah?
So, wait a minute. If he makes a t'nai that he's not doing the shavu d'zarah,
Not really a t'nai. Let's say that only while he's shechting over there, all of a sudden he has this thought that I'm going to do it for avodah zarah.
Then after the shchita is ended.
So when the shchita ends, when the process of shchita is ending, that's when he ends. Okay, next case, Shoran Nisko Lav Yidehu. What about the case of Lav Yidehu de Kachava? How about the case of Shoran Nisko? The animal isn't considered to belong to the owner because we said it's also Bana. So again, you why is he chayav for the tashlumi abo v'chamisha? He hasn't stolen anything. He hasn't stolen anything from the owner. The animal is also Bana anyway. Okay, but you're talking about a case like this. The original owner gave the ox to a shomer to watch. The hizik bebeis shomer, it did the nezik, it gored somebody while it was under the shomer's control. The nigma dinim bebeis shomer, the judgment of the case was brought to beis din, though the judgment was passed, the sentence was passed, the animal has to be stoned while the shomer had it. Then the ganav from the base shomer, and now the ganav stole it from the shomer's house
before he was shechted.
Before and then he goes and shechts it. So what's the point? But Rav Meir savalak Rav Yaakov and savalak Rav Shimon. In this case, when Rav Meir is saying he's chayev in the tashlum avav chamisha, that would be because he holds in one thing according to Rav Yaakov and in a different din according to Rav Shimon, namely savalak Rav Yaakov. He holds like Rav Yaakov as follows. Now let's think a second. Let's forget about the ganav a minute. Reuven has an ox. He gave it to Shimon to the guard, the Shemachinam, Shemachachar, doesn't really matter for our purposes. And while Shimon had it in his possession, it went out and gored. The case was brought to Beis Din, the animal was sentenced. At that point, if Shimon were to go to Reuben and say, you know what, I'm ready to return the ox, and he returns it to him, has he been Yotze, has he been Yotze returning it as a Shomer? Or does he still have to pay? Can Reuven argue, but you know what? I mean, I gave you an ox that's mutzah b'hanah. You're returning one that's also b'hanah. What am I supposed to do with it? Or can Shimon tell him, I don't know, an ox is an ox. You gave me an ox. I'm returning you the same ox. What do you want from me? Rabbi Yaakov holds the latter. Rabbi Yaakov holds that, yes, he can say, you gave me an ox. I'm returning you the same ox. It has a change of status in halacha? Not my problem. So then, he holds that at that point, if the shomer were to return it to the owner, it would be considered returned. So now what happens when the ganav instead steals it from Shimon and shechts it? He's preventing Shimon from being able to return it to Reuven. So that's number one.
Detail
Number two, Rav Meir would also hold like Rav Shimon that when you have something which itself is not considered mamon, but it leads to a chiyuv mamon, that it's also considered like mamon. Rav Shimon talks about it in a case like this. Somebody has an animal of hektish, and a person has an animal that he designated as a korban, let's say, which at that point, the animal is also b'hanah to him. Now, if somebody goes and steals that animal, what happens? On the one hand, the animal doesn't belong to the owner, it belongs to Hekdesh. On the other hand, it's Kodshim Shekhayev Bachru Yosun, it's the type of Kodshim that we learned in Rosh Hashanah called Nedarim, where he's going to have to make up, if that animal gets lost or stolen or develops a mum or what have you, he's going to have to replace it. So he's going to have to replace it with an animal that costs money. That's called Dover HaGom L'Mamon. The animal itself that the thief stole is not considered his property, but because it was stolen, he's going to have to replace it with something and he's going to lose out money. Do we consider, therefore, that one that's stolen, is that considered, in that sense, his property? Reb Shimon holds yes. It's not his property insofar as he can't have enough from it. He can't milk it or shear it or what have you. He has to bring it as a carbon. But it's considered his money to the extent it's considered his property because if it were stolen or what have you, he'd have to replace it. So by combining these two things, what do we get? If the ganav steals this animal from Shimon's house, he's preventing Shimon from being able to return it to Reuven. If he hadn't stolen it and shefted it, Reuven would have been able to return it to Reuven, and he'd be potter from any further liability. Because he would say, you gave me an ox to watch, and I'm returning you the same ox. Now that this ganav got into the picture and stole the animal and shefted it, Shimon can't do that anymore. Which means that now he's going to have to pay back Reuven for his ox. Reb Shimon holds that in that case, that means the ox is considered, to a certain extent, Shimon's property. And therefore, the ganav is going to be chayev. When we say that he's chayev tashlum abav hamisha, we mean not to the original owner Reuven, we mean to Shimon, because he caused that now Shimon is not able to get out of his chiyuv of a shomer by returning the ox.
But how can we apply a case of hegdesh to a case of nothing?
Doesn't matter. The point is, it's a general principle. Dover agom l'mamon k'mamon, dummy. That if you have something which is not considered, it's not really your property, but the loss of it is going to lead to a loss of money, then it is considered your property to that extent. And so we had a similar concept in Pesachim, actually, in connection with, you had chametz that belonged to a goy that's in your possession, but you have responsibility over it, where if it gets lost or whatever, you're gonna have to repay the goy, and therefore it's considered to that extent your chametz, and you have to get rid of it. No, that's a different. No, you're talking about Atzor and Akas of Kilei and Bishur, so that's something else. No, we're not getting into that. No, that's a different thing. That regular chametz is not considered your own during Pesach, but the Torah treats it as your own, as that you're a chayv and ba'yirah ba'yimot. So no, I'm talking about something else. Case over there of chametz shogoy etzor Yisrael, where if you have a chayv over the chametz, then you're responsible for it to get rid of it on Pesach, because to that extent it's considered yours. Anyway, so that's why we have in this case of the Sharonis. So that's why the mayor would be saying Yuchayev Tashlum Abav Hamisha. If it was a normal case where Reuven had the ox in his possession after it was already condemned by Beis Din, and then Levi the Ganav comes and steals it, fine, he's potter because he hasn't taken away anything that Reuven can't use this ox for anything anyway. It's also Bana. But once we have Shimon in the picture, the Shomer, then that changes things. Because now he's not causing Reuven a loss, he caused Shimon a loss. And not by Shimon not being able to return the animal. Rabba, getting back to what we said before, we started at the beginning of the discussion, we said that why is Reb Meir saying that he's chayev in the case when he shefted on Shabbos or Shabbat Azorah or whatever, why don't we say, come libidid abimineh and make him potter? And we said, we talked about that he had somebody else shefted. Now, Rabba Omar, La'olam b'tevei ha'idei atzmei. Rabba says that no, actually, we would be talking about that he himself shefted it, the ganav himself shefted it. And Reb Meir loiko mashalom yisle mesa mashalom lesle. And yes, let's agree that Reb Meir says that there's a difference that you can get malchus as well as have to pay money, like he says by Edim Zayman, as we said yesterday. But he does not hold that mesa mashalom. He does hold the kam lebedirab aminei to that extent. So then, the question is, why in this case are we making him pay, why in that case, according to the mayor, are we making him pay the knas when he himself is chayiv misa for Shabbos or Avodah Zarah? Yeah. The reason is, v'shayni hani, the chidush would chidush a Torah of knas. It's different in these cases. The Torah makes a chidush when it comes to a knas, because the whole concept of a knas is a chidush. The whole concept that you should be paying some different amount than the actual amount you damaged is itself a chidush, is itself a chomer of the Torah that the Torah is putting on you. That you should have to pay, for example, that you should have to pay double or four or five is a special thing. It's a unique kind of din.
In addition to the damage.
No. In the case of the four or five, you're paying the one time, and then in addition, you're paying another three or four times. But no, all that we're saying that in general, whenever the Torah, which is relevant to our parak as well, any time the Torah puts on you a knas, the 50 shkalim for anus mafasa, the 4 or 5 for tvachoy machara, the 2 times for regular gneva, etc. It's a chiddush. Well then, the chiddush or shechidja Torah b'knas, so the Torah gives you a chiddush when it comes to knas, afagav the mikdil l'shalem, that yes, even though you're getting killed, but even though you have a chiyuv misa, you still have to pay. So Rabbi is saying, in other words, so
it's not the general case.
It's a special thing when it comes to knas, which later on, tomorrow, the Gemara is going to discuss knas. Rabbi is saying that that's what the mayor holds. Which the Gemara is going to discuss tomorrow. If that's the case, we're back to the question, why does Rameh say there's a difference in the case of the daughter? The daughter, it's, you're still knas, you still have the same knas. Why, if we're saying that according to Rameh, in the case of knas, Nes and Mishalim, then why is the case of the daughter different than the sister? That we'll deal with tomorrow, at the end of the Soviet. The Gemara points out, for Azar Rabba L'taymeh, Rabba is going according to his own logic. He has the same svara elsewhere. To Amar Rabba, suppose that a person has a goat, a baby goat, that he stole sometime during the week, and then on Shabbos he went and shechted it, chayev. Then he's chayev to pay, because he already became chayev in the issue of Gneva, and therefore in the penalty, before he ever came to the issue of Shabbos. On the other hand, gone up for tavach b'shabbos potter. But if he did the actual stealing and the shechting on Shabbos, then which then the whole issue of gneva only came together with the issue of Shabbos, like we said the other day, akira tzer hanochi, that the akira, the picking up the animal and the hanocha are all part of the process of gneva. So then he's potter. And why is he potter? Now you could argue like this. You could say what? You're saying that he's potter from everything. Why? Because without the gneva, there would never be a chiyuv of tvachoy or macharoy. Meaning, the Gemara mentions in a couple of places in Bava Kamma when it talks about these dinim, since the Torah makes a point of saying that by tvachoy or macharoy you have to pay 4 or 5 times, the implication is it's either you pay twice, you pay 2 times if it was a regular gneva and no tvicha and no mechira, or 4 or 5 in the case of tvicha or mechira. There's never a time that we would say you pay three times, let's say. So what does that mean, therefore? It's 2 or 4 and 5. There's never anything else. So let's say, for example, if we make him, so you might think then, okay, maybe we'll make him potter for the double payment. Because that took place, the gneva took place on Shabbos, and at that point he already became chayev in Isra Misa. But you're going to say the tvicha took place later. By that time, that he's already chayev Misa for Shabbos. Maybe we should make him pay for the tvicha. Rabbi is saying no, because if that's the case, what it would come out to in effect is you're making him pay. Let's say it was an ox, you'd make him pay 3 times because you're taking your 5 minus 2, and there's no such case. If you can't make him chayev for the 2 times, then you can't make him chayev for the 4 or 5 times either. So we see from that Rabbah is saying that yes, in the case of knas, you can have nesu mashalim. By the way, Rashi points out that when Rabbah is saying this, that Rabbah actually holds like Rav Meir. He holds halacha is like a mayor that messed him with Shalom, and that's why he's saying this din. Tosfos says that not. Tosfos says that Rabbi is just explaining what Rav Meir would say. He himself would hold the halacha is like the chachamim.
Rav Meir.
And a similar thing. I said it a little bit wrongly, actually. What it is like this. When you think about it, the Tashlumei Arba'a Chamisha, sorry, I was saying you break it down into there's two and then there's the extra 2 or 3. Not really. Actually, we have to break it down as follows. There's the 1 and then there's the extra 3 or 4. The Keren is not a knas. The fact that he has to pay the value of the animal, that's not knas. He became chayiv in Geneva. Of course he has to pay that. That's the actual damages. It's the extra 3 or 4 times that are the knas. But again, if we're saying, we can't say...
Before we said what?
I was saying the first 2 times, but no. The proper distinction is like this, and then this is the importance of what we're saying over here. The fact that he has to pay the value of the animal, that's not a knas, that's regular nezek. The fact that he has to pay the extra 3 or 4, that's knas. But if we're saying that he's potter on the keren. Why? Because at the moment he became chayev in keren, he also became chayev in the Isser Shabbos, and we do say kam lebedirav minei on that. Automatically, therefore, we can't we can't assess him the knas because he can't assess the knas without the keren. Then it would be that he's paying three or four instead of four or five, and the Torah doesn't have any such case. But the implication is that Rabbah is saying that he's potter for the keren because kam le b'drav aminei. He would have been potter of the knas. He would have been chayiv for the knas except for this consideration that they go together. But we see from that that Rabbah makes a distinction that when it comes to regular payments, not knas, then you do become potter from them because of kam le b'drav aminei, but not knas. And that's
so
why we
calls the keren that you don't have to pay.
You don't have to pay, and automatically once you don't pay
you
the
have to pay.
Normally you would have if there was a knas without a keren. So in the case of the 50 shkalim of our peret, in the case of the onus of the mufata, there's no keren. There's no keren involved. Therefore you have to pay it. Therefore you just have to pay the knas, even though you're getting the chi of misa.
But when he holds when there is a keren, then you do.
Then that's different. Yeah. But Ve'amar Rabbah, and Rabbah says another din along those lines. Suppose a person had a baby goat that he stole previously, and then he shechted it while he was tunneling into or out of somebody's house. So we're talking about the Mefarshim explain what we're talking about over here is that he stole the animal just by walking into the guy's house or his yard or whatever, and then he's leaving. But then he's leaving by tunneling out, which the din is that the Torah describes in Parshas Mishpatim. Imach teres imotze aganav. If you find a ganav tunneling under your house, then you're allowed to kill him. You're allowed to kill him. Ein loy domim, because in general we assume unless you know he's not out to kill you like your father or whatever. But in an ordinary case, we know that a ganav was tunneling into your house expects to kill or be killed. He's fully expecting that the homeowner is going to resist and he's going to have to be ready to kill. Therefore, he's hit your asmi lemissi. He's considered a roidif. So in this case, the guy did the original gneva, not the machteres, in a way where he's not chayiv misa, but then he shechted it by machteres in a tunnel. So then chayiv, he's going to be chayiv for payment. Shekhanis chayiv v'gneva kodim shiyavah l'day ismachteres. Again, because he already became chayiv to pay the keren of the gneva before he ever became chayiv misa from the machteres. On the other hand, ganav v'tabach machteres. But if he stole and did the shechting all in the tunnel, then he's potter. Shemin gneva ain't v'chaven mechira. Again, he's potter from the keren because kam lebe d'rav aminei. Because he's making himself chayiv, he's making himself killable by being in a machteres. At the point when he's in the machteres, he already is chayiv misa for that, for being in a machteres. At that point, he does the gneva, so he's kam lebe d'rav aminei on the keren. And once he's potter on the keren, then again we have to make him potter on the rest of the knas, because otherwise it would be three and four instead of four or five.
He actually steals the goat and goes to the machteres?
No, if he steals the goat and then goes into the machteres, that was the first case. The second case was that while he's in the machteres, he grabs the goat and shechts it. He reaches out for the machteres, let's say, I don't know, yeah. And the Gemara points out it's Tzricha. Rabbah had to tell us both of these dinim. He couldn't just say the din in the case of Shabbos and we'd learn out Machteres from it, and not vice versa. To Iyashma in Shabbos, because if he had only told us that he holds this din by Shabbos, you would say, well, know what the difference is. Mishum the Shabbat, Mishum the Isura, Isur Olam. Shabbos is something where the Isur lasts forever, in the sense, in other words, that if he was Mechal Shabbos, 10 years later they can come to Beis Din and give Eidus that he was Mechal Shabbos, and he'll be killed for that, and he'll be executed for that. Avo machteres to isur shahu, but machteres is only a momentary thing. As soon as he leaves the machteres, he's not chayav misa anymore. At that point, once he's leaving the machteres, if the homeowner or anybody else were to kill him, they'd be chayav misa. So Emel, he's not in the machteres, right? Emeloi. So maybe you would say that not. Maybe you would say that just because he was in the machteres doesn't mean he passed it himself from. He passed it himself with kamalav d'rav aminei. The Iyashmein and Machteres, and conversely, if we had only been told about the Machteres and Machteres, you would say, you know why he's part of Mishum Machteres, do we Hasra also? Because just being in the Machteres already makes him liable for the death penalty. You don't even need a Hasra. You don't need to warn the guy when he's in the Machteres. You're stealing and you're Chayiv Misa, and if you don't leave, I'm going to blow you away. No, you can just blow him away.
He's in the Machteres without anything stolen, he's still Chayiv?
Yeah. Yes, because that's what I'm saying. That's what the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin. Rashi brings it on the pasuk that a ganav knows that a normal homeowner is not going to stand by and watch while his stuff is being stolen. He's going to try to fight back, and the ganav comes into the machteres expecting that he's going to be ready to kill. Therefore, he's considered a roidus, and a roidus doesn't need hasra. Avo Shabbos the Boya Hasra, but in the case of Shabbos, we actually have to, after all, you have to warn him before he becomes Chayav Nisa. Eimaloi, therefore Tzricha. So therefore, Rabbi needs to tell us both cases. But the bottom line is, we see from that Rabbi is saying, and again, according to Rashi, Rabbi is saying, I agree with Rameyer. According to Tosis, he's explaining what Rameyer would say, that there is a difference between regular payments and knas payments. Regular payments, yes, we say kamal b'de Rabbi minei. Knas payments, we don't. We say that if there's no Karen. If there's a Karen, that's a different matter, because you can't have the knas without the Karen. Yeah. New din, no, not really new din, but a continuation. Amar Papa, hoisa parag gnuvaloi. If a person has, it's basically a continuation. Amar Papa, hoisa parag gnuvaloi. If a person had a stolen cow, v'tavcha b'Shabbos, and he checked it on Shabbos, chayav, shekvanis chayav, v'gneva kodim shiabal the days of Shabbos. Because again, he was chayiv in the Gneva before he ever came to the Isra Shabbos. So therefore, he's chayiv in the Karen for that. And again, the Gemara is going to ask in a minute. I mean, it's not the same thing Rabbah was saying. Yeah. But if he had a cow that he borrowed, and then he shechted it on Shabbos, potter. Then he would be potter because then the Shechita constitutes the Gneva. And then we're saying he becomes chayiv in the Gneva at the same moment that he becomes chayiv in Isra Shabbos. What does Rav Papa just having to tell us at the same dinner of Rav Papa that Rabbah said about a goat applies to a cow? Come on. No, Rav Papa just said the first part about the part of Gnuva was just as an introduction. Really, what he meant to talk about was the second case, the borrowed cow. And that's why you have to mention a cow, by the way. Nobody borrows a goat. You know, nobody borrows a goat. You can't use it for work. You borrow a cow because you're going to work with it. For plowing or whatever. For
the goats.
Supposed to be showing an ox.
Yeah.
Right. No, I understand.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, okay. You could, but it's not usual to. Yeah. Usually you just ask the guy for a couple of milk. Yeah. What's the chiddush? Saukadai de Havina. You might have thought to say, Hoy over Omer Papa, Meshach Meshicha would is Chayav Labim Zeneseah. Rav Papa says in a different context that as soon as you do Meshicha on the animal, you become Chayav in feeding it. Namely as follows. The Gemara talks in the part in Bava Metzia, the couple of Mishnayos and then Gemara and the Gemara on them talks about the dinim having to do with lois sachsem shoy b'disho, that you're not allowed to muzzle an ox while threshing grain or doing any other kind of malacha for you. It has to be able to eat from the food that it's working on. And the Farshim explained over there because it would be tzar bala chayim to not let it, whatever, anyway. The Gemara discusses over there the case. What happens if you borrowed somebody else's cow and then muzzled it and threshed with it? Are you chayiv? And Rav Papa said yes, because mishas meshicha is chayiv like b'mizaneseh. As soon as you did meshicha, as soon as you the shoyl borrowed the cow, as soon as you did meshicha and brought it into your property, at that point you become chayiv to feed it. And at that point, what you become chayiv to feed it. So therefore, so later on, when you do the chasima, when you muzzle the animal, it's considered yours to that extent.
For the purposes of eating.
Yeah. Therefore, hachanami mishas shela is chayiv ba'inseh. Therefore, you would think by the same token, as soon as he borrows the animal already, then he becomes chayiv for any onus that happens to it. And if that were the case, then it would mean that it would mean that even though he shechted the animal on Shabbos, it would be considered as if already long before that, as soon as he borrowed the animal, it would be considered already to that extent. It would be considered his. It would be considered as sort of as if the gneva began at that point, and then he would be chayiv for the gneva already from then. Chavash malon, that's the chiddush that we don't say that.
Therefore,
we say that no. When does he become chayiv in gneva? When he shechts the animal. When he makes it impossible to return it to its owner. Well, he's shechting it on Shabbos. Come live with the rabbi, because the shchita and the geneva kind of happen at the same time. We should try to finish the rest of this. We'll see what we can do. Amar Rava, a related din, he niachle and avi and para shaula. If you have yisaimim who inherited the estate and their father left them a cow that had been borrowed, mishtamshin b'kol yimei she'elosa, they're allowed to continue using it throughout the whole term of the borrowing. The father had borrowed it for 30 days. Let's say they're allowed to use it till the 30 days are up. Mesa ein chayavin ba'onsa. If it dies during that time, and the father was still alive, he'd be chayav in onus, because that's the shoyl of chayav. They're not, because they didn't take on that achrayas.
And the And the fact that the cow is in their estate, so in a way,
doesn't matter because because they didn't accept that responsibility on themselves. Kisvurin shalavim. What about another din? Suppose that they thought this cow actually belonged to their father. Instead of realizing that it was borrowed, they actually thought it was his. And then they shechted it and ate it. What do we do? Meshamen d'mei basa b'zo. We make them pay the value of meat at the cheap price, which Rashbam in Bava Basra explained means two-thirds of the value. Because what we're saying is, they couldn't have known better. They thought that it was their father's, so they didn't mean to steal it. On the other hand, the fact is they did end up eating the meat, and now the owner can't get it back. So we sort of compromise. We make them pay two-thirds of the value. The Sman, Shulchan Aruch, says an idea that the reason why we fix it at two-thirds, he says, is like this. He says, you might have a person who will say, you know what, I can't be bothered to buy meat. It's too expensive. But if the store offered it at two-thirds the price, then you'd buy it. So therefore, by the same logic over here, these Yisraelim might have argued, we would have never shechted this animal if we had known. But if it's available to you for cheap, then yes, you might have. And that's the amount we make them pay. And also, by the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch, they have to return the whole skin of the animal, either that or the value of it. Anyway, further, continues Rava, what if their father left them land in the estate, which land can be under a shibud to the father's death, metalpulin can't, but land is, then chayavin l'shalom, then they have to pay. Now, what part is that referring to? Ikka demasni la reisha. Some say that that part is referring to the reisha, that we're saying in the reisha, when we said that if the animal dies, they're not chayiv in the einsin, but if the father left them property, then they are. If the father left them real estate, then they are, because then the shibud is chal on the real estate. And behind her, avala reisha, the ikka demasni la seifa, and others say that it's referring to the seifa, the case where they ate the meat thinking that the animal was theirs. The one who says it refers to the reisha when the animal died where they didn't even do anything would say all the more so that didn't apply to the sefer. We're going to make them pay the full price of the meat in that case. Because then we would say the full shibud lands on that property, on that land that their father left to them. And then, upliga de rapapa. Then we would say that disagrees with rapapa. Because rapapa had said that the shibud only begins from when the oinus happened or from the stealing happened, not from the beginning of the she'ela. And he would be saying not that the responsibility for it began as soon as he borrowed it, and the shibud lands on the property at that point. Umanda mastila sefer, whereas the one who says that it refers to the sefer when they ate the meat, avla reisha lo, they would say it does not apply to the reisha. Behind it, the papa, and they would say then in that case that agrees with what Rapapa says. Therefore, we're saying if the animal died naturally, even though he left them land, there was no shibud on the land because there was no shibud until the animal actually died. There's no shibud to pay. So just to finish off, actually, they talk about the Ketzos talks about the problem that the Rambam seems to sort of contradict himself. The Rambam paskins that this din that if the father left the property that they're chayav to pay only applies to the case of where they ate the meat. On the other hand, he paskins that they're allowed to continue using it through the whole she'ela, and if it dies, they're not chayav b'ainsin. So how do those two things fit together? So the Kesef Mishnah talks about maybe the Rambam had a different gear set, and the Gemara has a long discussion of it. He says that there's actually a difference whether the animal came into their possession by she'ela versus by gneva, basically. And by she'ela, we would say that the chiyuv doesn't start right away. It starts from when the animal died or what have you. Whereas if it came into their possession by gneva, then we would say that the chiyuv begins right away from when he shechted it. And therefore, that's why Rapapa had said before that if you have an animal that you borrowed and you shechted it on Shabbos, you potter. Versus if you stole the animal and then shechted it on Shabbos, you'd be chayev. No, that is halacha. That's how the Rambam paskins it. Yeah, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So there is a difference, so he's saying, between Gneva and Shela.
And that's why we
made that distinction before, yeah.